Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's week 10, start or sit. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, from PFF is Andrew Erickson, and our guest today from SiriusXM Fantasy. And, of course, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see from Fantasy Points, also the owner and managing editor, the one, the only, Joe Dolan joins us today. Joe, it is nice to see you on the show again. It feels like just yesterday we were mock drafting together here on this very podcast. And the Cam Akers news broke just as you had drafted him on that show. And then you turned around and you drafted Daryl Henderson right after. How did that theoretically feel for you now that we're sitting in week 10?
Well, it's a mock draft. So I'm glad that was a mock draft. But hey, Daryl Henderson's come through. And Joe, I just want to say something. This is my first appearance on the podcast since we lost tags. And I just... wanted to say that we miss him. Obviously, you guys are doing everything you can in his honor and in his name and for his family. So I just wanted to say thanks for having me on. And this one's for Tex.
And I got to say, it's kind of surreal still, because that show with the three of us, you, me and Tex doing that mock together, it was just the three of us. It feels like just yesterday. You know, these seasons go very quickly. We look up and we're already in double digits, and To still every now and then sit back and think, my God, he's gone. It's still very surreal for us, and it's still in our thoughts. And I know it's in our listeners' thoughts too. We see your comments too, and we understand. It's still a challenging thing every day to come onto this podcast and kind of miss his presence, but we just miss the person more than anything. And you know, very lucky that my friend here, who's I've been working with, and Andrew Erickson here for the last few years in the fantasy football world, has been able to come and be a part of this show. And Andrew, I want to tell you, man, I'm happy you're here, because in a lot of ways, I've said this before, you remind me so much of Tags when Tags first started out in the business, because it's your dedication, your passion, the way you are. And it's weird. It feels like his spirit sometimes is here when you're here with me. So for whatever that is, it's something that I've probably never told you, even in private, but I'm going to tell you here publicly on the show today. And that's why I love being with you here every single Wednesday for this show, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
I'm glad that you shared that with me. And, you know, if I can be like Tags, mm-hmm. you know, that's, I'm doing something right.
You know, you absolutely are.
Definitely something that I definitely will want to strive for sure.
And that is the last nice thing I'll say to you the rest of the show, because that haircut is hilarious that you got today. And now I know why you had that hat on before on Monday's show. That's right. Andrew's my buddy, so we could say these things. As I said before, I haven't had a haircut since 2005. So what the hell do I know about haircuts? But before we get into things, I want to remind everybody, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can see Andrew's haircut and understand what I'm talking about. Over at youtube.com/fantasypros. Again, that YouTube channel has all of our podcasts on it. It's also got our quick hit videos. and all of our live streams. So if you have start sick questions all the way leading up till kickoff, we're going to be there for you every Sunday. I'm there 11 a.m. for a whole hour answering questions. And then Yates is on there after me on the YouTube channel. I don't know if it's Dan Harris this week, as Yates, as most of you know, already had his second son there. Well, his wife had it, so not so much him. But again, congratulations to the Yates family. And of course, don't forget also about fantasypros.com/myplaybooks. Greatest feature this time of year, autopilot. That's right. It's an easy way to manage your lineup, save time, especially around the holiday season, all the madness, all the parties, all the things. Joe Dolan understands because he's always got to go to a million of these things. He's very popular. And autopilot auto swaps your inactive players. It can automatically set your optimal lineup every week. And let me tell you something, it saved me quite a bit of time in these last few weeks being so busy, doing all the shows, doing all the extra work, all the kids stuff, Halloween, all that good stuff. Autopilot helps you out with all of it at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. So like every single day here on the Start Sit Show every week, we are going to, of course, get into the players at running back first and foremost, the guys that we are concerned with in the top 20. And Joe Dolan, you are our guest here on the show. Ooh. So we're going to let you go first today. Who in the top 20 of running back? You're probably rolling out there anyway, but maybe, just maybe, you're a little afraid to do so.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see Melvin Gordon ranked in the top 20. But the thing that I've noticed about the Eagles is their run defense has been tightening up. And, you know, I think a lot of teams have also noticed that throwing the ball against the Eagles is the way to go. I'm sure you guys have heard the stat right now, because it's everywhere, because nobody can believe it, that they've given up five quarterbacks allowed 80% completion rate on 25 or more throws, while that's happened six times in the previous 70 seasons combined.
Wow.
From the Eagles. I mean, that's just impossible. But they have actually kind of closed it up against the run in recent weeks. And Austin Eckler was the only Charger who really didn't smash in the underneath area in that game. Javonte Williams had the big game last week. I actually just think, I have a weird feeling the Eagles will actually play a little bit differently defensively this week, but I think Melvin Gordon might be the guy in this top 20 that I have the most concerns about. And he is towards the back end. I understand that. I'm kind of cheating here, but he is somebody I'm concerned about. I think this is a Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, Albert O kind of game for the Broncos.
Well, it's also nice to see on that Jerry Jeudy note that the Broncos are really starting to utilize him as the weapon that he is, now that he's been back a couple weeks here from injury. So that is very encouraging on the daily fantasy side and on the season long side. A lot more about Jeudy probably later on the show. Let's talk a little bit, Andrew Erickson, to you about the guys in the top 20. Is there one that you pinpoint that you are slightly concerned about heading into week 10?
Every time I talk about one of these running backs, it's always the guy that's like has like the injury and then just doesn't end up playing. So I can never actually know if I was right or wrong about fading the player because he just doesn't play. And I think that guy is Damien Harris. For the New England Patriots. Again, he's dealing with a head injury. Same thing with Ramondre Stevenson. Ivan Fears, the Patriots running back coach, came out and said that it's a wait-and-see approach that they're kind of taking. So we really don't know or really have any clear information about, you know, what the injury is. Again, they're in the concussion protocol, so we just kind of have to wait and see and get the news whether these guys are going to suit up. But I don't really like the matchup. You know, the Cleveland Browns have a really solid defense in terms of their run defense. You know, fourth in fewest yards per attempt, second in explosive run rate faced to opposing running backs. And we saw, I mean, if you're watching that game, like, Stevenson looked really good. Like, there's no reason they should be getting him away from time. I mean, he's looked better at times than Damien Harris has. Like, looked more explosive, more fluid in the passing game. So, you know, I don't think that they're going to look to get him away from touching the ball if he is healthy. So if you have a committee approach a little bit more, Bolden is the one that's catching all the passes. Damien Harris is not catching passes. He has to score a touchdown or else he's going to give you a zero. And if you look at all the games that he's played this year, when he's faced the tougher run defenses, that's where he's really been, you know, not fantasy viable. So Damien Harris, I don't think he should be inside the top 20.
Yeah, and look, understandably so, and the concern with the concussion too is even if he does clear protocol, if he gets his bell rung again, he could be on the sidelines in that blue tent again too. That's a legitimate risk, and the same risk that Stevenson has. But I think the word fresher is what I would use, Andrew, when I'm looking at Stevenson, because he just is right now. I mean, Harris has had that workload that he's been carrying for the most part. For me, it's actually the number six guy on this list, and you're never taking Alvin Kamara out of your lineup. But at the same time, Tennessee's defense played really well the last few weeks. They're kind of a house on fire. We're getting some of these injury questions. We have Mark Ingram acquired, which we all went, okay, well, that's nice. They're getting the band back together, and then they're working out other running backs. I feel like there's something else going on here, and we don't have the whole story, and I hate that, and I feel uncomfortable with that, and once again, it's not a situation where I'm taking Alvin Kamara out of my lineup. That's crazy. But I am looking at the rest of the pieces I have at wide receiver and at flex and at RB2, and I'm giving myself a higher floor if I can find it, or maybe a little bit more boom in those spots, because I'm just slightly concerned with the matchup, with what's going on. And then you factor in the backup quarterback play, when you have turnovers, when you have Trevor Siemian, when you have Taysom Hill, it's not like you have Drew Brees out there anymore. So those scoring opportunities get a little limited as well in terms of their ability to run the offense. Let's transition, if we can, to some of the guys in that peripheral, the guys at RB3 slash flex that we're looking at. And obviously, these are the guys from 24, maybe to about 40 on the rankings. And you can always check out our rankings over at fantasypros.com/NFL rankings. And in the half point PPR, Joe, let's go back to you. Let's try to find two guys that you like in this range that you feel good about starting this week.
Yeah, I'm going with Jeremy McNichols. He led the Titans in snap share in their new committee in the backfield ahead of Peterson and Deontay Foreman. He also led that backfield in routes. And the thing that was ironic about that game in terms of the Titans is everybody talked about, oh, you know, obviously Derrick Henry isn't valuable because they won the game. They gained 190 some yards from scrimmage. Okay, they're not going to win many games where they don't gain 200 yards from scrimmage. Last week's game script, the defense just did a great job. Matthew Stafford had the Wentzian interception in the end zone. I think they're going to have to score more going forward, and I actually think Jeremy McNichols is my favorite back in this backfield. And I also like Devin Singletary. This one's kind of easy. I mean, they have a good matchup against the Jets. I understand they just laid an egg in a great matchup, but Zach Moss isn't practicing as we record this on Wednesday. He's in the concussion protocol. It's looking like it could be a week for Devin Singletary to lead the Buffalo backfield.
I have a question for you, Joe. I know our thought process here is we all, I believe, collectively think that, you know, that was an anomaly, what we saw last week against Jacksonville. Weird things happen sometimes. It's the NFL. And that the Buffalo Bills get it together. What if they don't? I just want to throw this scenario out there. And what do you think of this offense going forward? If we have a bad game against Jacksonville and then a back-to-back bad game against the Jets, what does that do, theoretically, in your mind, to all of these pieces on the Buffalo offense in terms of fantasy?
Well, the problem is, last year, Buffalo was like one of those teams, I like to call them narrow, where, like, you know where the ball's going. The teams like that are like the Vikings, the Seahawks. Last year, the Bills were there, but now, you know, Emmanuel Sanders comes in, and then they have Gabe Davis, and Dawson Knox is emerging. So if that offense isn't firing on all cylinders, and they're still mixing it in, they're still running the ball, although not like, they're not running it like the Titans and Derrick Henry, but they're running it more effectively than they did last year, that's going to be bad news for fantasy. You know, let's use the Chiefs as an example. The Chiefs offense is bad right now. Legitimate, it's not bad for the Chiefs, it's bad. But the Chiefs still are getting the ball to Hill and Kelsey, and in the backfield, Darrell Williams, because Edwards-Helaire is out. Those guys are still all startable. The Bills, with the way they've been mixing it around, if they don't get going, it could be problematic from a fantasy perspective for sure. And that's why I think Stephon Diggs, as solid as he's been, hasn't really lived up to that borderline first-round draft pick.
And it was kind of difficult because everything, like you said, was so narrow, so focused on Diggs last year that basically teams just have to figure out, look, we have to stop Diggs, make them do other things, challenge him a little bit more. And it's been a challenge a little bit, especially since Knox has been out, which has been kind of strange because he was a wrinkle in this offense that was a pleasant surprise, I think, for all of us. And now, since he's been on the shelf, we're all looking at each other like, boy, it'd be nice to get Dawson Knox back into this offense and do some other things. Let's take a break in the action to tell you about Bettle. With fantasy trade deadlines fast approaching and playoffs around the corner, there's no better time to level up your fantasy league with the help of Bettle. Bettle is the only social-first fantasy app designed to seamlessly integrate with your season-long league to offer a richer experience and new game types. Designed around an intuitive chat-based interface, Bettle lets you seamlessly negotiate trades, talk smack as playoff seeding comes out into focus, and stay up to speed on the latest player news and double down on your squad via Bettle side bets. Think you have the best team in the league? Is CeeDee Lamb going to outscore Justin Jefferson this week? It's time to put your money where your mouth is using Bettle side bets. Bettle side bets lets you get more mileage from your fantasy team and players. Challenge league mates to team versus team or player versus player matchups to give yourself more chances to win this weekend. head over to Bettle.co/fantasypros. Again, that's Bettle, Bettle.co/fantasypros to sign up for free and import your Yahoo or ESPN league to get started. That's Bettle, Bettle.co/fantasypros. And now, back to the action. Andrew, from this RB3/flex spot here, who do you like at RB? Give me two guys you feel good about starting this week in week 10.
Yeah, so the two guys I'm looking at, I like J.D. McKissic for the football team. So they're coming off the bye week, and they're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I don't think that the football team's going to get a lead here, and I think they're going to have to throw the football. That's kind of just the game script that everyone follows when they play Tampa Bay. You don't really look to run the football, and McKissic's the guy that's involved when they're throwing it. He has 20 receptions in his last three games, like 24 targets. Like, that's solid numbers for a receiver, and he's a running back. So it makes sense. The Bucs defense has allowed fifth most receptions to running backs this season. So I think, I mean, I like McKissic more than, we'll talk about some of these other football team running backs, but I like McKissic the most out of the running backs on the football team. And then the other guy I like is AJ Dillon. I just think that he continues to be involved enough where you look at his touches in his last five games, 16, 12, 11, 4, 16, and 12. Like, good chance you're going to see double-digit touches for AJ Dillon against the Seattle Seahawks. And look, the Packers offense is not this like high-flying, like aerial attack. It's throw the ball to Devontae Adams or get it to the running backs. Like, that's their offense. And it does kind of, and that's why we don't see them really play that many shootouts. You know, they kind of run a slow, boring offense, and that features the running back. So I think Dillon in a good matchup against the Seahawks, they've been giving up a lot of points to running backs this season. I think Dillon is actually, you know, a decent back end RB2 this week.
In keeper and dynasty leagues right now, as we approach trade deadlines and leagues, would you be looking to acquire AJ Dillon for 2022?
Yeah, I think I definitely would. I know that I have a couple, I mean, like Myles Gaskin is someone I'm just trying to move off of like ASAP as soon as like humanly possible. I'm like, he got 20 carries last week. Like, please, like, take him away from my team. Just trying to flip him for literally anything. I mean, I'm trying to trade him for like Melvin Gordon. Just like, I just want like steady production for the rest of the season. I don't care about next year, because I seriously doubt Myles Gaskin is going to be the incumbent through another offseason for Miami. So yeah, AJ Dillon, yeah, I think that he's a prime buy. He's gaining touches even while Aaron Jones is there, and I think that he's really just taken on that Jamal Williams role even like to a plus. Like, he's involved in the passing game, which we all kind of just, you know, shied away from. He's like, oh, like, he didn't catch any passes in college. It's like, well, they never threw the ball at Boston College. Like, they never did. So Dillon never really had a chance to show that he could catch the ball, and he has done so far this year.
So McKissic, Dillon, Singletary, McNichols, those are the guys that the boys feel good about starting. Let's talk about the ones we don't feel so good about, the guys we definitely want to sit this week. Joe Dolan, give me two guys that you're concerned about starting this week who are on that fringe of RB2, again, flex-ish kind of spot.
Well, Antonio Gibson's interesting to me because my whole thought process was, if there is a game or a time when Antonio Gibson is going to be productive this year, it's coming out of the bye. We know that shin injury has plagued him essentially since the start of the year. And though, you know, all those, oh, he could be the new Christian McCaffrey comments. Well, number one, we underestimated the impact of McKissic. But number two, this injury is also taking him off the field in situations where, you know, before the bye, Jarrett Patterson led them in carries. So I think there's a chance that if Antonio Gibson feels good coming out of the bye, they don't work in Jarrett Patterson as much. The problem is they're playing the Bucs, mm-hmm. and it's that stout run defense. So I think there's a chance Antonio Gibson does feel good this week and doesn't perform well. If Jarrett Patterson is in a rotation this week, though, I mean, all the alarms that have already been sounded for Antonio Gibson, they're just going to be blaring. It's like when you have a smoke alarm and the battery isn't changed. The single most annoying sound on planet. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's annoying for a reason. Mm-hmm. But by the way, I was recording a podcast with somebody where that was happening at some point, and I was
in your was like, house or their house?
Their house. And I was like, uh-huh. Dude, you have got to change that battery. like you know, like it's always the worst. But anyway, that's the alarm that's going to be sounding if Antonio Gibson. Right now, the battery needs to be changed. But if he's in a rotation with Jarrett Patterson in this game, then the smoke alarm is going to be going off. I mean, really big time. If there's a point where he's going to be healthy, it's now. Unfortunately, it's a god-awful matchup. Of course, I have Mike Davis as well. And I'm just going to jag. He's just a guy.
He is.
He is like the most amazing guy in the NFL. I mean, his name is Mike Davis. And I can criticize because my name's Joe Dolan. And as somebody who is very, very aggressively just a guy, I can say Mike Davis is just a guy.
very, you got to get there on a t-shirt, Joe. Very aggressively just a guy.
Aggressively mediocre.
That is the new Twitter handle.
I was in college, we had a beer bong. Everybody had a beer bong.
Now we're getting the good stuff. Okay, so let's go. All right.
And on that beer bong, we had like a sticker, like one of those oval stickers, you know? Uh-huh, yeah. And it said, I bring absolutely nothing to the table. Fantastic. And I feel like Mike Davis has that beer bong.
Well, I disagree. You bring a lot to this podcast and all of your stuff, but I don't know. I wasn't hanging out with you in college, so I can't tell you what you did or did not
bring. For some reason,
my
wife married me. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, there's no accounting for taste, Joe. Let's move on to the guys that you want to sit this week. Andrew, who do you not feel so good about putting in your lineup for week 10 at running back?
Yeah, so Adrian Peterson, again, I talked about him last week on the show. And of course, he scores a touchdown. I just like I'm watching that game. I'm like, of course he's going to score the touchdown after he rushed for 21 yards on 10 carries, 2.1 yards per carry. Did not look great out there. Deontay Foreman looked like the most explosive running back. You know, he was averaging 5.8 yards per carry. So I like what I saw out of him. We've already talked about Jeremy McNichols and how he's going to be involved more in the passing game. And, you know, this is actually probably a worse matchup for Adrian Peterson. I know it's a revenge game. You know, he did play for the Saints for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 weeks before he got traded to Arizona and then Washington. Peterson's been everywhere at this point. But, you know, they're the number one ranked rushing defense in terms of rushing yards allowed per game to running backs. Like, the Rams weren't, you know, that stout of a run defense, but the Saints are. Like, they're right up next to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so it's the rule of thumb. You don't start running backs, especially early down grinders like Peterson against the Saints, against the Bucs, because you have to score a touchdown. So, yeah, Peterson, I'm not going back to the well with him this week. And then Jamal Williams, again, kind of similar reason. You know, he's playing Pittsburgh. You don't want to play these guys that just don't see enough work in the passing game against these stout front defenses, especially when, we can pretty easily project, okay, the Lions are going to be trailing in this game. That's why Swift is going to be okay. Like, you're not playing Swift because he's going to get like 50 rushing yards. Like, you're playing Swift because he's going to catch like 10 balls. Like, that's why he plays. That's why Swift is fine. But Jamal Williams, unfortunately, I don't think is game script proof. So I'm looking to sit him this week.
All right. Let's play a little game of Who Should I Start? Of course, powered by the Who Should I Start tool over at fantasypros.com/start. Again, this is part of my playbook here. So let's play a little game. Devonta Freeman of the Baltimore Ravens against Antonio Gibson, who we were just talking about. They are back-to-back, basically, in ECR. We just had a long discussion here about Antonio Gibson. So, Joe Doan, I'll start with you on this one. Gibson or Freeman, who do you want to start?
Could you imagine saying before the season?
No, don't even say it.
That in week 10, you'd be starting Devonta Freeman over Antonio Gibson? I feel better about him.
Uh-huh.
I think he looks the best out of that Ravens. Mm-hmm. I call it the throwback field.
Ooh, I like that.
But I think he looks the best of the group. And Le'Veon Bell even looked a little spry. And it doesn't look like Lat Murray's going to play this week. Tyson Williams played like 18% of the snaps but didn't get a touch last week. I'm playing Devonta Freeman, and this is an easy one for me. And I mean, you guys play Dynasty. Like, I picked him up off the scrap heap in Dynasty, and now he's a usable player. It's unbelievable.
Freeman is for me, too. Andrew Erickson, Freeman or Gibson, who do you feel better about playing this week?
I mean, Freeman's not 30 years old yet, so he's not washed yet. So, yeah, I'm going with Devonta Freeman, too.
That's terrible. You know what? In terms of the experts, they agree 78% say Devonta Freeman. And, you know, you mentioned about the comparison to Christian McCaffrey. I guess if the standard was disappointing early investment running backs, then yes, Gibson has lived up to that Christian McCaffrey hype. Let's talk about another one here. Let's go a little deeper down the trough. Boston Scott, little one-dimensional, against Kenyon Drake, possibly also a little one-dimensional in their own respective offenses. Who would you rather start? Andrew, I'll start with you in this one. Scott or Drake?
I'm going to go with Drake here. I like what I've seen out of him, how he's been used more in the receiving game. And I know that they added in DeSean Jackson, but he's not someone that is commanding, you know, huge volume of targets. Like, he's opening things up underneath. You know, he's going to occasionally see one or two deep targets down the field from Derek Carr. But, you know, I think the fact that the running backs were so involved in the passing game last week, I think bodes well. I mean, ever since John Gruden left the Raiders organization, we've seen Drake's snaps increase every single week. He got season high 8 targets last week, 6 catches for 70 receiving yards. So, you know, this is what we see all the time. We think that, okay, they lose a piece in their offense. Okay, it's just the next receiver that steps up. Well, no, it's, you know, they actually just shift to, okay, where do we have our strengths? What positions are we good at? And the Raiders have 2 good running backs on their team. So they're using Drake more in the passing game along with Jacobs. So I think that he makes a lot of sense, especially in the matchup against the Chiefs, who have allowed the 6th most receiving yards to running backs. And with Boston Scott, I'm just kind of throwing my hands up like, okay, So is Jordan Howard now the lead running back? Like Kenneth Gainwell got like this random goal line carry. Like I just don't know. Like it's a three-man backfield, and I really don't know. Like if I play Howard, I feel like I'm like point chasing, and then it's gonna be a Boston Scott week, or it's gonna be Kenneth Gainwell again. So I think I can deal with a two-man backfield with Drake and Jacobs, where the roles I think are more defined. Whereas the Eagles, I am a little more puzzled, I would say.
It feels like we're back in 2015 where we're talking about Devonta Freeman. We're talking about Jordan Howard, Le'Veon Bell. I don't even know what world we're living in nowadays. Joe, let's go to you on this one. Boston Scott or Kenyon Drake, which way you want to go?
So last week against the Giants, you know, obviously the Raiders didn't have Henry Ruggs, so their deep threat is gone. Now they have DeSean Jackson this week, but I don't think anybody's going to have the illusions that DeSean Jackson's going to be able to go out and play 60 snaps. Maybe DeSean Jackson has that illusion, but I think one of the reasons... that the Rams, that he isn't hurt right now is because the Rams were limiting his usage. But last week against the Giants, Derek Carr threw 46 passes. 38 of the 46 were either directed at a tight end, a running back, or Hunter Renfro. That is a lot of short area passing for Derek Carr, you know, without Henry Ruggs in there. And Kenyon Drake had 6 for 70 in that game. I trust Kenyon Drake's role more than I do Boston Scott, like Andrew was saying. Like, Boston Scott, and by the way, Boston Scott's a good receiver, but Jalen Hurts has thrown 31 passes the last two games as the Eagles have been running the ball, and Jordan Howard has been their most effective downhill runner. I just feel better about Kenyon Drake's role.
Yeah, actually, make a 3 for 3. The definition of that Kenyon Drake role, and also since Gruden's been gone, too, a little bit more confidence, it feels like, in getting Kenyon Drake more work in this offense. I think they're going to give the Chiefs all they can handle this week, personally. And maybe that's not a hot take at this point in the game as we talk about the Chiefs, but we're in the minority on this one because the experts say Boston Scott right now, 59% to 41%. I don't know, maybe after this show we give up some good stats, maybe that'll change around a little bit, keep an eye on that, but I'm with you. So 3 for 3, Freeman over Gibson, and Drake over Scott for us here on the show today. Before we move on to wide receivers, I want to tell everybody about one of our sponsors of today's show, and that is, of course, the one, the only Magic Spoon. Now look, you're in this point in time of the holidays where you're going to be eating a lot of food, right? It's pie season. I'm a big fan of pie season, Christmas cookie season right around the corner. You got to sprinkle in some healthy things in there, but you also want something that tastes good and something that, again, that you can have any time of the day, and it's a good bowl of cereal that's good for you. And the nice thing about Magic Spoon, it's got 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net carbs in each serving. It's only 140 calories in a bowl. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, but it's not taste free. It tastes really good. I've got the cookies and cream sitting in my cabinet right now. It's delicious. And I know a lot of people here who listen to the show, they tell me, you know, I gave the Magic Spoon a try, and I gotta tell you, I really like it. They've got all these different flavors there, too. You can make your own bundle. They got cocoa, they got fruity, they got frosted peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, like I said, my favorite, and the maple waffle. They're both back right now, but you can only get them over at magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Again, that's magicspoon.com/fantasypros. You get your custom bundle. You can even give it away. It's a stocking stuffer. Here you go, Sonny boy. Here's some cereal for Christmas. They'll probably get mad at you if you get your kids cereal, but you know what? Maybe not, because it is delicious. So once again, go over to magicspoon.com/fantasypros to make your custom bundle today. Magicspoon.com/fantasypros. The promo code, fantasypros, to get $5 off your first order. And I want to thank Magic Spoon again for sponsoring today's show. Let's move on, boys, to the wide receiver position. Andrew, let's start with you this time. Who is a wide receiver in the top 30 that you got you a little concerned this week?
It's got to be DJ Moore. I mean, you think that, okay, he doesn't have Sam Darnold. Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe we could spin it. But I think you're just doing that like from a rose-colored, you know, glasses type of view. Like you're trying to spin it to, and I was guilty of this. I looked at, you know, the one game last year that PJ Walker started, and DJ Moore had over 100 receiving yards. So I'm like, oh, like maybe this can work. But then it's against the Lions. So I'm just like, you know, I feel like I'm definitely trying to wish cast this into existence to be, no, DJ Moore, he's going to be fine. And I said this about like Devontae Adams last week, and you weren't going to take Adams out of your lineup, but Adams saw 14 targets last week, and it still wasn't good enough because he didn't have a good quarterback. And unfortunately, you know, Moore's not the same class as Adams, number one, and he also is going to have the same type of issues with the quarterback play. So DJ Moore got concerns with PJ Walker. Again, the last 4 weeks, you know, DJ Moore has been getting a lot of volume, you know, 8th in target share, but it doesn't matter. Like he hasn't had any top 20 finishes. He's been outside the top 40 the last 2 weeks. So I think that there's a lot of alternatives you could go with, you know, another running back or receiver that you have either on your bench. If you think that someone else can give you a better shot of finishing as a top 20 guy, I think that's kind of the move I would make with DJ Moore. Again, Arizona, number 5 PFF coverage grade this year, and McCaffrey's back. Like, why would the Panthers not, with a young, inexperienced quarterback, let's just run the football? Like, Arizona gives up big plays on the ground game. Like, you have McCaffrey. Like, he's your best player. Like, feature him. So, DJ Moore, we don't know what the connection is going to be there with Walker, the Temple guy. Maybe he'll throw the ball to Robbie Anderson. Maybe Robbie Anderson will drop the ball. Who knows? So, DJ Moore, I'm trying to get away from this week.
Do you think, in retrospect, the Panthers still did the right thing taking the shot on Sam Darnold instead of taking the quarterback in the draft? I mean, obviously, we all know the answer. The answer is no, it didn't work out. But at the same time, do you think the logic was sound enough at the time to do that?
No.
I know, Joe, you obviously don't. We'll get to your thoughts on that in a second. But, Andrew, how about you?
Well, the thing is, and I think it's a good comparison. I know that people looked at, like, the Wentz moves and the Darnold move kind of similarly. But the way that I saw it was, Wentz was good at one point. Like, he showed us
Wentz
he had...
very good at one
Wentz
point.
Showed us he had a ceiling. And he just kind of he kind of fell off. But Darnold has never been good. Like, ever. So the fact that he was good for like 3 weeks because he played a bunch of bad teams, including the Jets, it's just like, no, like they should have drafted a quarterback, and drafting a corner, like that doesn't help you. So yeah, I think it was a mistake. They gave, what, it was a second round pick. That was awful.
Yeah. I at the time I thought, well, it's interesting. I don't like it, but it's interesting. And all of a sudden you have a guy who's in the league a couple years. Maybe you've jump-started the development, even though the development wasn't great under Adam Gase. Maybe there was an opportunity where you say, well, we were ahead of the game a little bit, as opposed to starting fresh with a young quarterback. But Joe Dolan, obviously that has not been the case. And now they're in that cycle again, which is the worst cycle to be in the NFL, where you're continuously cycling out quarterbacks every single year, which is not good from an offensive perspective, clearly. So what do they do next year?
Okay, so they don't believe in Justin Fields, okay? Or they did clearly didn't believe in Justin Fields.
Clearly
or
not.
They would have drafted him. Or Mac Jones, okay? All right, how about you draft J.C. Horn? And how about you just keep Teddy Bridgewater? Who's better than Sam Darnold? Like, none of us are sitting here going to tell you that Teddy's going to be winning the MVP award, but, I mean, if that Carolina defense has improved. Like, I feel like they'd have a winning record with Teddy Bridgewater just taking care of the football. So, now, I thought the process was broken from the start because they gave up a second-round pick, multiple picks, by the way, 3 picks, to downgrade a quarterback. That is a bad decision. And to downgrade to somebody who, as Andrew and you both have said, has never shown that he is good. I didn't agree with the move at the time, and I sure as hell don't agree with it now.
All right, well, who do you also disagree with starting in the top 30 wide receiver this week, Dolan?
Yeah, it's just Chase Claypool. And I just wonder, how much is Pittsburgh going to have to throw in this game? Najee Harris has gotten, I think, like 55 touches in the last 2 games combined. The last time we saw Detroit's defense, Jalen Hurts threw 14 passes. Because the Eagles have guys they pulled up off the practice squad running the ball down Detroit's throat. I think this is a massive Najee Harris game. And I just wonder, you know, when Ben Roethlisberger throws the ball, it typically goes to Diontae Johnson. Are they going to be taking shots down the field? In the red zone, Pat Freiermuth has really emerged as a big-time option for Ben Roethlisberger. I just, Chase Claypool's a guy I don't have a lot of faith in this week because I feel like Ben can throw 20 passes, Pittsburgh can win going away, and that's how they're going to want to play this game.
Toe Tap Pat becoming a mascot unofficially of our show here. We've been very much on the Pat Freiermuth for a few weeks now, and it's been really nice to see him play so well, and Big Ben likes him. I mean, it's just very clear when Big Ben likes a player, he's going to go and feed the ball to that player. For me, it's Deebo Samuel, who's ranked 14th this week. He's got a matchup against the Rams. I don't love the cornerback matchup. I'm worried about his health. You see Kittle back on the field last week. You've seen Brandon Ayuk 2 weeks in a row look productive. I'm also a little worried about that offensive line of the 49ers against the Rams front. Just a little bit, you know, the Rams have scuffled a little bit here. I think this is possibly a very get right game for them. And I got to tell you, between the quarterback play, the O-line, the cornerback matchup, there's a lot of negative things. And then, of course, the health at the end of the day for Deebo, who has been terrific this year. But what have we learned in the past about Deebo Samuel? We've seen great performances in the past and then injuries. And that's the same thing between him, between Mike Williams. It always makes them difficult fantasy investments. So it's very tough to take Deebo out because he's a top 15 guy. But at the same time, it's you got to look to your lineup. You got to build in some floor. You got to worry about what the rest of your lineup looks like and be very careful about what else you do. Let's continue on to some of those guys outside of the top 30 now. These are our flex plays. So, Andrew, we'll go back to you. Give me two guys you feel good, or maybe even three if you're an overachiever and you want to really feel good about starting this week in week 10.
All right, so I like Rashad Bateman this week against, or on Thursday night, playing against the Miami Dolphins. So the rookie for Baltimore, he's shown that he's legit and why he was a first-round pick. And he's delivering as advertised. The last 2 weeks, he has 10.6 PPR fantasy points per game, and his routes have increased every single week. Like, he's playing more. He's seeing a significantly larger role in the offense. He saw two deep targets from Lamar Jackson last week. And that's really what Miami's been terrible against, like the deep ball. They've allowed the most completions of 20-plus air yards this season. They've allowed the third most fantasy points to wide receivers. So, you know, this Miami Dolphins, you know, defense that we thought could be good just has not panned out. Like, it's a terrible defense, and it's just not been able to stop anybody. I don't think they're going to be able to stop Lamar Jackson. So I think that just attaching yourselves to good passing games with efficient quarterback play, like, that's a recipe for success. Like, are the targets going to be, you know, astronomical? Probably not, but he's still getting it done because he's seeing targets downfield. So Bateman, I don't care if Sammy Watkins is coming back, because, like, why are they going to get reps for Sammy Watkins? Like, he'll take over, like, Duvernay's role. Like, it's the same reason why we're not worried about Eric Ebron or Corey Davis. Like, these guys that, who cares? Like, these rookies, these teams drafted these rookies highly for a reason, and they want to feature them, and then when they're playing good, they're not going to take him off the field. At least that's what rational coaching would do. Adam Gase is not coaching any of these teams, so I feel more confident in saying that. So I like Rashad Bateman for the Baltimore Ravens. And then I kind of put these two together. That's why I put two in. I know I was only supposed to put one in, Joe. I broke the rules. But
you did. You're a rebel, Erickson. But can't keep you down. It's the new haircut. That's what it is. You have just no respect for authority anymore.
But Van Jefferson, I like. He's number three receiver that basically is on the field every single play for the Rams. 97% routes run per team drop back, and you want people or receivers attached to Matthew Stafford. So I don't think the 49ers secondary is going to be able to slow down the Rams at all. Van Jefferson could have had a much bigger game. I mean, Matthew Stafford missed him like wide open in the end zone. He would have walked in for a touchdown. So Van Jefferson has that boom bust profile. I think that, you know, similar to like a Chase Claypool, Claypool has kind of that same boom bust, but I almost feel more confident in Van Jefferson because Matthew Stafford's throwing him the ball and not Ben Roethlisberger, who would just gladly just, all right, check to a run, give it to Najee Harris for the 30th time against the Lions. Like, let's do that instead. So I think Van Jefferson's probably like a safer, you know, wide receiver three option than a guy like Claypool. And then the other guy I want to mention, Michael Gallup. So he's supposed to come back for Dallas this week in a high over-under game against the Atlanta Falcons. Should be a shootout. And the thing that I noticed about the Dallas, what they did last week without Blake Jarwin, was they actually shifted their personnel grouping. So basically weeks 1 through 8, they were running more 12 personnel because they had the two tight ends. They only ran 11 personnel 54% of the time, and that actually jumped up in week 9 all the way to 82%. Cedric Wilson ran a route on 91% of Dak Prescott's dropbacks. So assuming that Gallup is full go, depending on the news that we get when he is activated and ready to play, he should be full go and be out there on 90% of the snaps. So I want that in a high scoring environment, especially a big play guy like Gallup, where the Cowboys are looking to bounce back after a disappointing effort last week. So Gallup and Van Jefferson are interesting wide receiver threes that I like this week.
Very good names there from Andrew Erickson. Let's get some more from Joe Dolan. Who do you feel good about starting this week?
Well, it's interesting that Andrew mentioned the 55-point total in the Dallas-Atlanta game, because I'm going with Russell Gage as one of my starts. And, you know, he had the weird game 2 weeks ago, obviously, with the Ridley mental health situation. Wasn't targeted. But then he was really into it last week against the Saints. He was targeted frequently. He led them in. He was second on the team in receiving. He was first in catches and first in targets. But Patterson, obviously, was awesome. But so I dug this number up, and I'm going to bring it back up when we talk tight ends. Sports Info Solutions obviously does a good job tracking, you know, stats and everything and tracking coverage and all that. Anthony Averett of the Ravens has given up the most yards in coverage per Sports Info Solutions this year. Number two is Trevon Diggs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we talked about that on the IDP show right here on Fantasy Pros. Scott Bogman and I, a few weeks ago, we talked about the reason why Diggs has been such a great IDP guy is because they continue to throw the ball at him. And that gives you opportunities for picks, which is great for IDP. But at the same time, you have to realize there's a reason why certain guys are lockdown corners, right? And because they're not good in IDP fantasy, at least because no one throws the ball to them. So yeah, Diggs has been right there. And that's something that I'm glad you're bringing up here. And again, something we've talked about here on Fantasy Pros Podcast before. It's a great point.
But wait, there's more. Number three is Anthony Brown, the other Cowboys.
Here you go. You beat me to
So, like, my question... So, let's just put it this way. I think there's going to be lots of opportunities for Russell Gage in this game. I really do. And I think this is an opportunity for him to really pay off as a wide receiver three. So, I think the coverage isn't great for the Cowboys. I think the scoring environment is great. And I also like Brandon Ayuk this week. He's really crawled his way out of the doghouse. I think the 49ers are going to have to score a ton to keep up with the Rams. I think the Rams, and much like the Bills, but I'm more confident in the Rams getting back on track, are going to be really pissed off about what happened this past weekend. So I think Brandon Ayuk, who has crawled his way out of the doghouse, is going to be able to pay off at least for maybe one more week here at wide receiver until the 49ers go to Trey Lance, which is going to happen sooner rather than later if they keep losing games.
Yeah, you would imagine so. And you imagine they don't want to throw him to the Rams this week, but the press conference from Shanahan was not exactly a ringing endorsement of Jimmy Garoppolo's skill set. Let's just put it that way. Since we're here with you, Joe, give me a couple guys then you are not happy about starting. Who are two guys you want to sit at wide receiver week?
So let's start with Marvin Jones. The expert ranking is 37, which is mind-blowing to me. The highest-ranked Jaguar wide receiver in fantasy points per game since DJ Chark went down is Jamal Agnew, and he's wide receiver 40. So, I mean, like, I know people are looking at this situation saying, oh, you know, they're going to have to score points with the Colts. I just forget about it with Marvin Jones. He's one of those guys, you know, Andrew was talking about it with Miles Gaskin. You're like, and I think Zach Moss has been a guy like that for a lot of us. You pick him the wrong week every time. I'd rather just be rid of the guy, not even give me the option. Like, forget about it. I'm done with him. And Corey Davis is my other option. I think it's a really difficult matchup against a pissed off Bills team. Elijah Moore has started to emerge a little bit. I know Denzel Mims is on the COVID list, but I think Elijah Moore is the type of guy who they need to keep giving reps to. I want to give Corey Davis a week to get back before I'm confident starting him.
Let's say you had Moore and Davis. Would you feel better about starting Moore this week, obviously?
I would. And maybe that's just
I don't think it is. I think he is the more explosive, interesting player with this offense. And I think it seems like Mike White or Johnson, whoever those quarterbacks are, seem to have an affinity for him. Whereas if you saw in the beginning, even from the preseason, Zach Wilson's love affair with Corey Davis, I mean, that is a love story that seems to be impossible to break. But until Zach Wilson comes back, that's where I start to get a little concerned with Moore. But as long as it's these other quarterbacks, I like Elijah Moore quite a bit. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction, the only place to go to get all that cool stuff for the man cave, for the lady cave, the she shed, or just a nice gift because the holidays are coming. That's right. Pristine Auction is the spot where you can bid on the most amazing sports memorabilia, everything from football, baseball, basketball, college sports, wrestling, Marvel stuff, you name it, they've got it over there at Pristine Auction. All you got to do is visit pristineauction.com, put in the promo code FANTASYPROS, that's all one word when you register for free, FANTASYPROS, get a $5 credit on us when you do, and start bidding. Everything there is backed up with that authenticity guarantee. Things there are affordable too. Things aren't necessarily all thousands of dollars, but if you want to be a big spender, you can. And Pristine Auction, it doesn't cost you anything to start bidding. So what are you waiting for? Head over now to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com and get all that cool stuff now before someone else does. Andrew, give me two names that you do not want to start this week in fantasy.
I'll continue our trend of not playing Jets receivers, which I think is a winning formula here in fantasy football. So, again, just the matchup is terrible. You know, the Bills, they're the best team against wide receivers this year, allowing the fewest fantasy points per game to the position. And particularly slot receivers, they've actually been really effective against, allowing the third lowest passer rating, 70.9. Now, Teron Johnson, who is their primary slot corner, is in the concussion protocol, so there is a caveat here that if he doesn't play, then that would obviously move Crowder up a little bit in the rankings, but you're still like not super confident in starting Jameson Crowder because Corey Davis is coming back and Elijah Moore is starting to break out. So you know, the target share that he's had where he's led the team. I mean, he's basically done nothing despite leading the team in targets basically the last 3 weeks. So I just don't think that there's a lot attached to Crowder. And there's plenty of other wide receivers in his range that I think have just way more upside to offer than Crowder, who really maybe gives you a floor here, but I don't really like the spot for him. And then the other player is someone that a lot of people added off the waiver wire this week, Donovan Peoples-Jones for the Cleveland Browns. And I get that he made the great plays, big plays down the field, 60-yard touchdown from Baker Mayfield. He had three targets. Like, I don't know, like, don't bury the lead here. Like, he got three targets. Like, and he didn't even lead the team in targets. Like, still Jarvis Landry was still the target share leader. So I don't see that this game is this high-flying attack where Baker Mayfield is dicing up the Patriots secondary that's finally hitting its stride. Like, the Patriots defense is showing up and shutting opposing offenses down unless your name is Dak Prescott. And I'm sorry, Dak Prescott and Baker Mayfield are not in the same stratosphere of skill. It's not a thing. And the Patriots have actually been playing a lot more zone. They started off the season playing a lot of man, and I think they realized like that wasn't the strength because they didn't have Gilmore anymore. They didn't really have a lot of guys that are just playing like solely man-to-man coverage. So they play a lot of zone coverage. And if you look at Mayfield's attempts of 20 plus yards, only 18% of them come against cover three. And that's really what the Patriots have been playing a lot more, cover three zone. So I think Peoples-Jones, again, he's going to see a lot of J.C. Jackson, who's the Patriots' best cornerback. And J.C. Jackson's led the third lowest passer rating when targeted this season. So I just think that this is the classic, oh my God, this guy blew up on the waiver wire in really low volume. You start him and then he just does nothing. Like, I just think that it's pretty clear as day to me that Peoples-Jones is going to fall in that category. It's not like a blame on him. Like, he's an exciting player, but I mean, you got to give me more than three targets to have any confidence in starting you.
Well, the zone coverage has also led to a lot more turnovers recently for the Patriots, too, which has been huge. But I got to tell you, I hope you're wrong, Andrew, because I got a league where I'm a little desperate at wide receiver, and I just picked up Donovan Peoples-Jones. And you know what? I hope he has at least three targets. I want something. Can he just get one more big play? But he does have that big play ability, so if you're desperate in a deeper league, I can understand having to run out there. But listen to Andrew. He's probably very right about it. It's probably not going to work out well. Let's test your stamina, Andrew, for Jets wide receivers in a little who should I start? Elijah Moore or Tim Patrick, back-to-back in ECR this week. Who would you rather start, Moore or Patrick?
I'm going with Tim Patrick. He just finds a way to either score a touchdown, have like 80 receiving yards, and you don't really know how he did it, but he did it. And I just don't like the matchup for the Jets just entirely. With even if Mike White is quarterback, then I mean, it's okay, it's gonna be running back checkdowns. Like, that's what he's gonna do, not necessarily push the ball down the field. So even though I like Elijah Moore as an exciting player, I think Patrick just has shown more consistency this year. Darius Slay is also banged up for the Eagles. Mm-hmm. See if he plays. So yeah, Patrick just finds a way to get it done. And you know, when you look at the box, you're like, oh, Patrick, oh, what do you know? Another top 24 finish.
That's one vote for the Timinator. All right, go ahead, Joe Dolan. Tim Patrick or Elijah Moore, which way are you going?
I do want to point out that Tim Patrick missed practice today with a knee injury. So I don't know if that's going to be a long-term thing or if it's going to miss. Both he and Albert O missed today with knee injuries. But Andrew's right. The Eagles have three corners or three defensive backs who were working to the side. Now, Josh Tolentino, who covers the club, said they looked good. But Darius Slay, Avante Maddox, who's their slot corner, and Rodney McLeod, the safety, were all working to the side. So keep an eye on that. I'm actually going to say Elijah Moore again. Maybe it's shiny new toy thing, but I just have a weird feeling about the Eagle defense this week. Like, they've had these games where they've come after bad quarterbacks like Darnold and Jared Goff. I don't put Teddy Bridgewater in that category, but I don't think the Eagles are going to be playing as scared as they play against the elite quarterbacks, which hasn't worked for them, by the way. They should probably stop doing that. But I actually think the Eagles defense is going to show up this week. That's a weird hunch I have, but just throwing that out there.
All right, I guess I'll try to break the tie here because I actually don't feel bad about starting either of these guys. Of course, keep a close eye on Tim Patrick's health as the week goes on. I think if you're just looking for a safe floor and to get out, it's Tim Patrick. But I think if you want a little bit more upside, I think it's actually Moore because the game script would portend that they're behind in this game. And Mike White has shown you he has no problem playing from behind and slinging the ball around potentially. So as long as he is in this game or Johnson, I guess either way, I know the Bills secondary is outstanding. I'm the guy who always tells you about him every single week, but I think Moore is the upside play. Patrick is the safer one. Let's do another one with one of your guys, Joe Dolan. How about Brandon Ayuk or Hunter Renfro? Another little bit of, well, Hunter Renfro is very safe. Ayuk looking better of late. So do you want to believe in the trend or do you want to just take the steady Eddie Hunter Renfro?
You know, I talked about Brandon Ayuk, but now I'm going to talk out of the other side of my mouth because I'm going to I feel better about starting Hunter Renfrow, you know, against the Chiefs. I think Hunter Renfrow now is one of the two go-to guys for Derek Carr. I think Hunter Renfrow is just a rock solid bet to catch 7 or 8 passes every week. And you know what? I'm just going to throw this out here again because Hunter Renfrow is so boring. I guarantee you he's going to be like a 10th round pick in fantasy next year. And it's going to pay off, and it's going to pay off. And I didn't draft him enough this year, but I just feel like these guys, oh, you know, he's not an outsider. Brian Edwards is so talented. When a guy has a quarterback who looks to him and looks to him frequently, these guys are always going to come through for you. He's going to be on so many of my best ball teams next year. Hunter Renfrow is the guy I feel better about starting.
And you know what? A couple of years ago when he was on Hard Knocks, you really saw that like Hunter Renfrow was a hardworking guy. He seemed to really have the respect of the coaching staff, respect of Carr, but it didn't quite all pop for him right away. But sometimes it takes a little while. You got to be patient sometimes with these assets. Andrew, let's go to you with this one. Renfrow or Ayuk, which way would you go?
Yeah, I got them ranked really, really close to each other. And I think that the analysis or the breakdown of like, if you want the floor, you go with Renfrow, you want the ceiling, maybe with Ayuk. But I mean, Renfrow has a ceiling too, because he gets targets. Like that just gets like so like swept under the rug that, oh, well, this guy only gets like 12 targets a game. Like that's not an upside. It's like, no, yes, it is. Like you need that type of volume to have that type of upside. So yeah, I'm going to go with Hunter Renfrow here. I mean, Derek Carr, I think is primed for a bounce back performance. And if anything, Jimmy Garoppolo, like, is he going to continue to keep throwing for 300 passing yards, like, looking like this? Like, I don't think so. So I would probably lean towards Renfrow.
I would lean towards Renfrow as well. Like you said, Andrew, the consistency, the floor on a weekly basis, the target share. Ayuk is turning in the right direction, but do I want to take that risk still? I don't know if I'm ready to love again when it comes to Brandon Ayuk. But it's funny, here we are again, the three of us are in the minority. The experts, 65% say Ayuk. They are the prisoners of the moment and the trend, and we are just with the 35% Hunter Renfrow, by the way, and that other one we just did, Elijah Moore. 69% of people, once again, prisoners of the moment. Everybody wants to live in the now. Tim Patrick, just 31%. So no love for those, you know, boring, steady guys. But let's switch gears over to quarterback and see how we feel about this one. I'm just going to kick things off here with this because I got to tell you guys, like, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but the 6th-ranked quarterback this week, again, is Patrick Mahomes, and he's put up 9, 15, and 10. And I can't take Patrick Mahomes out of my lineup. He's Patrick Mahomes. It's a tough matchup, though, against the Vegas defense that I think is very improved this year. It's on the road. This offense is not working properly. He is turning the ball over. He is looking frustrated at times. I thought last week would be the get-out-of-jail week for them, and it wasn't. And now I'm more concerned than I was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It doesn't matter. That's where I am, and it's a really rock and a hard place kind of spot, because do you want to take Patrick Mahomes out of your lineup? No, but you have to start looking at the bigger picture here and say, I've got to get more productivity elsewhere. I got to make sure everything in my lineup is clean and ready to go, because Patrick Mahomes is not necessarily winning you weeks anymore, and that's why you drafted him so highly. This is a real problem, especially in super flex leagues. This is a problem now. Andrew, let's go with you. Who is a quarterback in that QB1 conversation that has you a little concerned this week?
I would just say Russell Wilson. I just don't know, you know, is he going to be rusty at all? Like we saw with Dak Prescott, you know, coming back after an injury, after like some time off, he came back and was like, whoa, like what's going on? Like this doesn't look like Dak. So again, we kind of just assume that, you know, Russ should be good to go. And, you know, that's where we have him ranked. You know, I have him ranked still, you know, within the top 10, because I think that he should be fine. But we just saw it. Like it's not out of the range of outcomes that he just lays an egg because he's coming back. And, you know, it's not like Russell Wilson does this sometimes. Like he has games where he isn't super efficient and maybe the finger isn't right, you know, throwing the ball. And so I think there are some question marks about Wilson. So yeah.
All right. Joe Dolan, QB that you're concerned with, and it's a QB1, but maybe have a hard time sitting.
Well, I think Kyler Murray, and this might be a cop out because Kyler Murray might not play this week. He's not practicing today. The Cardinals have the luxury of coming back and seeing that Colt McCoy played really well last week, and the Rams were the victim of a bad loss on Sunday night, and maybe Colt McCoy showing you the value of having an experienced backup quarterback, not a guy you want to start 16 for you, but a guy if you need him to start 2-3 games. I think Kyler Murray's a guy I'm worried about, and here's the problem. You have a fast defense, the Panthers. Kyler Murray wasn't even running before he got shut down, so I'm really concerned about that. Might not have DeAndre Hopkins. That's a guy I'm very concerned about if he plays this week.
Yes, Hopkins and Murray did not practice today. Also, it looks like this just came through that Sam Darnold is going to miss a few weeks. So you're going to get your wish here, Andrew. You're going to get to see Walker and Moore together and see what happens with that. So let's go.
Also add, by the way, Matt Rule said the Panthers are exploring any and all options at quarterback. You know who's out there?
Oh, baby, bringing him back.
I'm just saying. Cam Newton's still a free agent.
No. They say
I don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah.
Guys who can throw the football. All right, let's move on to the guys on the fringe of QB1. Here are some names for you. Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill, and your best friend, Teddy Bridgewater. Joe Dolan, you look at these guys, you look at the names in the matchups. Who do you feel best about starting from this group?
Got him ranked in the top 10 this week. He's thrown multiple touchdowns in 6 consecutive games.
I know.
He came out today and said, I am playing on Sunday even if my child is born. That is Carson Wentz, and there is nobody on earth who is happier to hear Carson Wentz say, I am skipping the birth of my child, than Eagles fans and the Philadelphia Eagles front office, who need Wentz to play like 4 more games to get that first round draft pick. Carson is skipping the birth of his child, and he is in my fantasy lineups as a top 10 option this week. He's got a bad defense, and he's picked on him this year.
Joe Dolan, he is also in my top 10 at quarterback this week. I'm actually surprised he was as low as he was in that grouping. Wentz is that guy for me. I don't get it. Are people not watching what's going on? Jonathan Taylor's been an absolute monster the last few weeks. It's a great matchup. Yes, Jacksonville did play very well, but let's not quite overreact and let's look at the bigger picture of what happened to Jacksonville in the first 8-9 weeks of the season. Andrew Erickson, the fringe of QB1, who do you feel best about starting this week?
Yeah, like Matt Ryan. I listed him as like a sit last week, and of course he throws for 340 yards and 2 touchdowns to like Olamide Zaccheaus, Russell Gage, Tajae Sharp, like a bunch of guys that just like not a lot of people have heard of, and he got it done. You know, he's actually PFF's highest graded quarterback since week 4, 91.7 PFF grade, so he's getting it done, and this is going to be a shootout. 54.5 point total, or 55, I think that Joe had mentioned, so yeah, it's a shootout. It's in a dome. It has all the things that you want. A pissed off Dallas team that wants to put up points. Matt Ryan wants to continue to play at a high level. I expect Kyle Pitts to have a bigger game and have a bigger influence. So yeah, give me all pieces of this Falcons Cowboys game that you can get. And Matt Ryan's playing well. So yeah, I'll go with Matty Ice.
All right, let's play a game of who should I start here with two guys on the fringe of QB1. Derek Carr, who's actually ranked ahead of Carson Wentz. Joe Dolan, let's go. Who would you rather start, Wentz or Carr?
I am taking Carson Wentz. I have him in my top 10 this week. You know, Derek Carr, I think, is a good start as well, but I just think Wentz is beat up on bad defenses, and this is one of them, and I'm going to roll with the hot hand in Carson Wentz.
I agree. 2 for 2. Andrew Erickson, Carson Wentz or Derek Carr for you? Who would you rather start?
I'm going to go with Derek Carr. What I saw with him last week, so he actually went 1 for 7 on his passes to the end zone. So his fantasy point total from last week was not necessarily representative of, you know, the opportunities that he had. You know, he should have scored based on his expected fantasy point output, 29.4 fantasy points. So he should have had a monster game, but he just couldn't connect on some of those end zone targets to Bryan Edwards, to Darren Waller, to Zay Jones. Like, they just weren't connecting. So if that reverses itself, especially now with DeSean Jackson added that vertical element, you know, basically every time DeSean Jackson plays for a quarterback and on an offense, we just see that quarterback's efficiency just spike, whether it's because DeSean Jackson is actually catching deep balls or just because he's influencing the entire offense. I'm really excited. I think that the Raiders are going to roll in this matchup. I think the Chiefs are in for a rude awakening from the Raiders, because this is the first time I think that the Raiders, like, legitimately, like, we can beat this team down. Like, we're not going to be the team that gets beat up by the Chiefs anymore. Like, a statement game for Las Vegas in the wake of all the Henry Ruggs, not like all of that stuff. I think that the Raiders come to play, and I think Derek Carr has a really great game.
They've had a lot of adversity the last few weeks, the Gruden issue, the Ruggs issue. Now they're going back to that building and playing in front of that fan base. I am with you. I think this is going to be all that the Chiefs can handle. I said it earlier and I still stick by it. Boys, Superflex is getting ugly here.
Yes.
I just want to throw the names out here who are at the bottom of the quarterback pile. Let's see if we could just start one of them, okay? Tua, we don't know yet. We don't have enough on him. Trevor Lawrence, Jimmy G, Trevor Siemian. Too many guys named Trevor. I just want to point that out there. Mike White and Jared Goff. Andrew Erickson, who is your best of the worst here in this grouping?
I would still go with Garoppolo. He has weapons. Like, he has Debo. He has Kittle. He just has to throw it to those guys, and then those guys make plays. And that's what I would go with Garoppolo.
Easier said than done. Joe Dolan.
My favorite band, you can actually see if you're looking on the YouTube, is a band called The Hold Steady, and they have a lyric, and the lyric is it's from a song called Barfoot Blues, and this is, it's actually very emblematic of this situation right now. The line is, it really sucks to be stuck here with all these Trevors. And Craig Finn used the word Trevors for like nerdy guys, I guess. Being stuck here with all these Trevors is what's going on here. And there's one guy who stands out being stuck with the Trevors. And as Andrew pointed out, it's Jim G for me. Like, he's got some weapons back. If he wants to keep his job, he's got to play well in this game.
All right, let's switch gears over to tight end. The guys that we're concerned with in the top 12, for me, it's Dalton Schultz. He's ranked 9th. I think that's a little high, especially as Andrew was talking about with Michael Gallup coming back, a little downward trend the last few weeks. And I understand last week was a strange week. In back-to-back, you have the backup quarterback, and then you have the return of Dak Prescott, which didn't work out, obviously, the way the Cowboys wanted. But tough to take him out. Still very concerned. Be looking for other options, possibly, that might be out there. Andrew, who are you concerned with at tight end?
Yeah, so I originally had like Pat Freiermuth just because I wanted to talk about how people shouldn't be concerned about Eric Ebron coming back. And so I'm going to cheat and actually go and pivot to Hunter Henry. So he's not ranked in the top 10. He's ranked 12th, but I still think that's way too high. You know, fun fact, it's sad but true. Jonnu Smith, you know, Kyle Yates' guy, has a higher target share than Hunter Henry does over the last 4 weeks.
Don't encourage Kyle.
Like, but the thing is, like, Hunter Henry just keeps catching touchdowns every single week. So.
I was going to say, I know you sat here last week and you were trolling Hunter Henry to call a touchdown. And I thought about you immediately. I was like, oh, man, Andrew's not happy about
it's,
that.
It's these guys that are just making Adrian Peterson just falling in the end zone and Hunter Henry. And yeah, like, that's part of his role. So,
sure. Yes,
you are benefiting from having that. But, I mean, he's averaging 3 targets per game. Like, not even 3 catches per game, 3 targets per game since week 6. And I just don't think eventually it's going to run out and he's going to goose egg guys. So having him up in year like 12, like there are a lot of other tight ends I like more that are just more involved in their offenses. They're running more routes, seeing more targets. So I think there are a lot of better streaming options than Hunter Henry this week. So I think that he's ranked too high at 12.
And if you had said Pat Freiermuth, I would have kicked you right off the show. That's it. You would have been gone. You're dead to me, Erickson, already. All those nice things I said. Joe Dolan, give me a tight end one that you're not too pleased with potentially this week.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of also cheating because it's so hard to fade a guy who's a tight end one. But Kyle Pitts, and I wonder just how Dallas is going to defend him. Now, I talked earlier when we discussed Russell Gage. If they choose to match up Trevon Diggs on Kyle Pitts, I'll consider that a win. Like, Trevon Diggs has given up the second most receiving yardage in the NFL this year. Anthony Brown's given up the third. But you also have to understand, a couple of weeks ago, Kyle Pitts had the back-to-back 100-yard games. In his last 4 games outside of that 2-game stretch, which certainly counts, he hasn't reached 10 fantasy points in a PPR. So are they going to rather Russell Gage and Cordarrelle Patterson dink and dunk him to death while they bracket Kyle Pitts? I think that's entirely possible from Dallas's perspective. So I'm just bringing that up because I'm interested to see how Dallas chooses to cover him. But if it is Trevon Diggs, don't be shocked if Kyle Pitts makes a big play. He should have had one last week. He had to go right off his hands.
Yeah, he should have. You're absolutely right. That should be a fascinating game. I got a lot of interest in that in the DFS show that's coming up tomorrow. I got a lot of discussions to have about that one. I think
sure.
He can be on both ends of that game. Let's play a little Who Should I Start at tight end. Dalton Schultz, who I'm concerned about, or Dan Arnold, our favorite other tight end here on the show of late. Joe Dolan, you got any feelings about this one? Dan Arnold or Dalton Schultz?
I think I'm going to go with Arnold.
I think I agree with you.
This might be the biggest upset of the show, but over their last 4 games, he's tied for the team lead in targets with 26. He's tied for second on the team in routes with 122. He leads the team in receiving yards over those last 4 games. The Colts have given up touchdowns to Ryan Griffin and Jeff Swaim in the last couple of weeks. You know, not exactly guys we're going to be talking about too often on this show. So I'm going to go with Dan Arnold. The return of Michael Gallup has me a little bit concerned.
I got to tell you, this is probably the only time you'll hear those two names mentioned on this show and probably never again. I will agree with you. I actually have Arnold ranked higher in my rankings this week than Schultz. a little surprising what the experts have to say. Before we get to the experts, let's get to another expert here. Andrew Erickson, Dan Arnold, or Dalton Schultz?
I'm still going with Schultz. I like what we saw with him, because his role increased without Blake Jarwin last week. So I get True. That Michael Gallup is coming back, but Blake Jarwin is not there. And I'm going to look at it as that's still a net positive to subtract Blake Jarwin, and even if you add Michael Gallup, because Gallup's going to be taking over Cedric Wilson's role, which really wasn't overlapping with Dalton Schultz as significantly. So, I mean, he ran around on 90% of Dak Prescott's dropbacks. Like, that's higher. That's more routes run than Dan Arnold. So I still think that Schultz playing attached to Dak Prescott has a higher ceiling, where Dan Arnold, okay, you're hoping for that garbage time, whether it's from him, whether it's from these other Jags receivers. So I'm going to still go with Schultz.
Well, you know, Joe, you were talking about those Jags receivers, talking about Marvin Jones, and we know Chenault's done nothing, but Dan Arnold's that guy that keeps consistently giving you points. So it's Arnold for me. However, the experts agree with you, Andrew, 87% to 13 in favor of Dalton Schultz. It's a blowout here. I did not expect it to be that much of a blowout, but we shall see. Sometimes the consensus gets it right, sometimes it gets it wrong. We'll find out on Sunday, won't we? Let's get to our favorite starts and sits of the week. For me, my favorite start, Devontae Freeman. Yes, that's right. It's 2015 all over again, and we're talking about Devontae Freeman, but I've been talking about him on this show for weeks now. Been talking about picking him up a few weeks ago, how he feels like the best guy in that backfield. Yes, Lev Bell's going to get some work there. I understand that. But I think Freeman still gets enough regardless. Love the matchup this week on Thursday night. I want to get him in my lineup. And my must-sit of the week is Courtland Sutton. And it's just because it feels like, since Judy's been back, again, he's just kind of fallen back to the wayside, and Patrick's been the guy. However, I will give the caveat, if Patrick is out with a knee injury, maybe that circumstance does change. Andrew Erickson, who is your must-start and must-sit of the week?
Yeah, so we're going to stay on the Denver Broncos, Jerry Jeudy. I think that this is the prime spot for him. He's been ramping up. He's been seeing more targets, 29% target share in his second week back from injured reserve. And I just love this matchup with the Eagles kind of being that slot funnel, you know, moving targets to the inside. You know, when you look at slot receivers, when the Eagles have faced them, the league's highest passer rating against opposing slot wide receivers, 135.1. So Jerry Jeudy lines up in the slot more than any other Broncos wide receiver. So I absolutely love him in this spot. We saw Keenan Allen have a really productive game last week against the Eagles, working as that inside wide receiver. And then my sit is Antonio Gibson, for, you know, all the reasons we kind of talked about a little bit earlier. You know, could Jarrett Patterson come out and, you know, have 10 carries in this game again, out carry Antonio Gibson? Like, it's the last time we saw Patterson out carry Antonio Gibson. Words I never thought that we would say. We already talked about how we would rather start Devontae Freeman over Antonio Gibson. Like, you should not be, like, should be trying to find ways to not play Antonio Gibson. Yes, he's still a running back, a starting running back for a team. So there is a point to where you do need to start him over certain players. But, you know, for the looking for upside, like, there are a lot of receivers I think just have higher ceilings than Antonio Gibson does this week.
Joe Dolan, who's your must start and must sit, of week 10 in the NFL?
Well, let's get a quick early preview on the Thursday night football game. The Baltimore Ravens have given up the second most fantasy points to tight ends this year. Mike Gesicki, his role has been big this year, but it's been never bigger than when Devontae Parker is out. He's obviously on IR. In the four games that Devontae Parker has missed, Mike Gesicki is averaging 8 targets and 5.8 receptions and 74.3 yards per game. In the games that Parker has played, he's at 6.2 targets, 4.2 receptions, and 46.4 yards per game. I don't care who's playing quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, Mike Gesicki is a guy who's in your lineup this week. And my sit is DJ Moore. Erickson already outlined all the reasons why. PJ Walker is starting. PJ Walker is 3-for-15 this year. PJ Walker has completed under 50% of his passes in his NFL career. Now, all it needs is a couple to pay off to DJ Moore, but I think that the deck has been stacked against him the last couple weeks with the quarterback play.
All right, let's ask another question, though. We got Baltimore and Miami coming up here Thursday night. As you said, Gesicki is a must-start. We're always going to start Gesicki. Waddle's probably a must-start for you, too. But what about Gaskin? What are you doing with him here, Joe? Would you start or sit Miles Gaskin in this matchup against Baltimore?
Well, got him in the low 20s this week, and I never feel good about that. I mean, like, let's put it this way. I probably am starting him, but I'm really glad that I'm in a position where I don't have to in any of my leagues. Like, I 20 carries last week, a touchdown for 34 yards. He's getting enough work in the passing game, I will say that, to help offset it.
Andrew Erickson, how about you? Would you be starting Miles Gaskin or sitting him this week against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think the process is you're going to start Myles Gaskin. Like Joe said, you know, he had 20 carries last week. He had 26 touches. Like, running backs that see that type of volume, you know, are good in fantasy. And I get it didn't really work out that well last week, but you can't like, oh, well, I'm not going to play this running back that's going to see the ball 20 times. Like, no, that's the biggest predictor of running back production, not necessarily efficiency. It's volume. So Myles Gaskin is getting it as long as Malcolm Brown is still on IR. So Myles Gaskin also involved in the passing game. So if they do fall behind, which they probably will, you know, he will at least catch some dump off passes here and there from Jacoby checkdown Brissett.
Joe Dolan, it's always a pleasure, my friend, my one-time colleague at SiriusXM Fantasy, and of course, you can always check out Joe Dolan over there every Sunday, breaking down all the games in live, real time. It's so great to listen to. Every time I get in a car on Sunday, it's immediately where I go to, so I can hear that friendly voice telling me all the things going on, and Joe's reactions to things in real time are just exquisite. So if you haven't ever experienced it, I encourage you to do so. Follow him on Twitter at FG_Dolan, and of course check out all the great work that him and the team are doing over at Fantasy Points. Joe, again, thank you so much for your kind words about our friend Tags and earlier in the show, and thank you so much for giving us your time, because I know it's very precious this time of year.
I hope we made Tags proud with this one, guys. I know it's just a little time out of everybody's day, but I think it's just a reminder that to listeners, you know, there's that there, you know, somebody and you know Tags through the podcast. So guys, thank you so much for having me on. I hope y'all enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you later.
I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Bettl. Head over right now to Bettl.co. Again, that's Bettl.co/fantasypros to sign up for free and import your Yahoo or ESPN league to get started on Bettl.co/fantasypros. Also, don't forget about Magic Spoon, the best tasting cereal that's also good for you. MagicSpoon.com/fantasypros and get $5 off when you use that promo code fantasypros. And of course, speaking of $5, how about $5 for free to start bidding today on Pristine Auction stuff? Again, that's PristineAuction.com, PRISTINE, auction.com, where you can bid for free on the coolest stuff around for your man cave, your she shed, or just get some great stuff around the holidays because you love sports. Don't forget, too, about subscribing to our YouTube channel over at Fantasy Pros. And, of course, don't forget about my playbook and the great features like Autopilot that'll help you set your lineup when you're not available to do that. So, again, boys, great spending time with you. I did kind of feel like we had a little presence of our friend today. It was a good feeling, great conversation, and man, it was such a joy to work with you guys all the time. So that'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Joe Dolan and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.